How many of you have had a chance to see the film yesterday? Right. Yeah, we offered it here yesterday. It's available for purchase. We have one copy of the DVD. If you'd like to borrow it to kind of see it, it's a fanciful film. It's kind of fun to watch and imagine. The music's great. So I encourage you to do that, but if you haven't, I'm going to offer a short synopsis this morning. In the movie yesterday, there is a massive electromagnetic event that affects the power grids all over the world. The surge is so powerful, lights go out, computers stop, and battery backups fail. There is a momentary pause where all information, the thing that drives the planet in this information age, stops and is interrupted. Oh, the bliss, actually, if you think of it. When the power is restored, the world has forgotten that the rock band The Beatles ever existed. There is nothing, no music, no books, no newsreels, no papers archived, no recordings, nothing. But during this near catastrophic electrical event, there are a precious few individuals whose memories were unaffected. One of them being an aspiring musician who has been inspired by the music of the Beatles throughout his young life. He plays the guitar and remembers the music. Well, mostly remembers the music. How many of us sing the wrong lyrics to a song for years before discovering that we simply heard it incorrectly? Right? My kids, my oldest knows the tune to everything, doesn't know the words to much. My youngest knows the words to everything. It doesn't forget a single one. And she makes fun of her sister all the time because she sings the wrong words. Right? But this memory, it lives in this guy who's playing the guitar. So this young man begins playing these great songs, first to his friends, and they marvel at how good this music is. You've really got something here. And then he's encouraged to play the songs for others. Soon, he is discovered and eventually opens for mega superstar in today's music world, Ed Sheeran. The world, once again, is swept up in the music of the Beatles because someone did remember. Throughout the film, the directors give the viewers the idea that there are a few other people who remember, and the tension builds around what will happen when and if he gets caught. I won't divulge that little secret because some of you may not yet have had a chance to see the film, but imagine a world where there is no imagine, no Sergeant Pepper, no Hey Jude, no Here Comes the Sun, or Eleanor Rigby. Now imagine you remember that you remember and get to reintroduce the world to this great anthology of music. The thrill, the responsibility, the pressure would be tremendous. Now imagine for a moment a world where no one outside the life of Chapel Hill remembers anything about their own experience with Jesus Christ. No, I really want us to pause for a moment and imagine a world like that. Close your eyes and think about how you would respond to knowing who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and how you would tell your story. The story of Jesus in your own words, in your own life, from your own experience. What might you say? How might you act? This is where the disciples found themselves after the resurrection and ascension. They believed Jesus was the Son of God, and they had watched him be crucified, buried, and witnessed the risen Christ after the first Easter. Now Jesus had ascended into heaven, and the disciples are tasked with spreading the gospel into the world, into a world that simply does not know. During Lent this year, we are going to be challenged to explore that world for us now. We are Christ's disciples. We know about our experience with Jesus and the effect God has had in our lives. We are being asked to spread the word in a world where no one else has this memory. We've had to make a few assumptions about this world without memory of Jesus. There are Christian churches all over the world. Remember, this electromagnetic event happens and stops the memory. The memory was there until a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, maybe in our experience. There are Christian churches all over the world. People will still gather there for community and fellowship and religion. The Holy Spirit will still draw people together. They just won't recall exactly why. Out of habit, they will probably know mercy and kindness and grace, and out of habit will show each other those things within the limits of their human ability. They just won't remember why. It's taken us a couple of weeks to discover that we are the only ones who remember. As is the case in the film, we have no digital access to Jesus. If you've seen the film, when the lead character looked up the beetles on the web, his search produced a picture of a large black insect, and that's it. A similar search for us might produce a picture of an ordinary guy named Yeshua or Jesus. If, without Jesus, there would even be any ordinary guys named Yeshua or Jesus, or Jesus, pardon me. Antiquity remembers. There are books and theological libraries, but they can only be accessed through research of the old-fashioned sort. Look to my friend Mark in the back, Mark Wilson, who I think would be enthralled by a world such. Unlike in the film, where all the record of the Beatles was gone, we have the Gospels. We have 2,000 years of theology and interpretation to work with. Over time, Jesus will be remembered, but for now, we get to decide what is most important to us without fear of prejudice. Think about that for a minute. What is most important to you about who Jesus is in your life? And what might you say if there was no fear of prejudice, no fear of a counter-argument? We simply get to tell the world who Jesus is and how he has changed our lives in the hopes of rekindling or rebuilding those memories for others. We will spend the next several weeks examining Jesus the man. Jesus as God, the miracle worker, and some of the many attributes of God as manifest in Jesus. Over the course of this Lenten season, we'll be challenged to choose the gospel stories and teachings of Jesus that have had the greatest impact on us and that will have the greatest impact on others, in our opinion. With the theology all present together, rather than developing over time, we get to draw a new picture of Jesus with all the layers of thought present at once. Being that Pastor Janet and I will be doing the preaching during this series, we will make some choices. Right? But I don't want us to impose those choices on you. As a matter of Lenten discipline, I would like you to make some of those choices for yourself. Search the Gospels. Search your heart. Find the places where you think Jesus has impacted you most, where the stories are most powerful for you, and develop your own picture. Compare it and contrast it with what is chosen to be offered you in this series. So where do we start? What comes first? How do we begin to tell people about this Messiah? What will give our stories credibility? How will people know that our experiences with Christ are from God and not idolatrous fiction? Same way people always have. We must connect our story with God. We must connect this Savior with God. We heard these words this morning. Who made these things known so long ago? What idol ever told you that these things would happen? Was it not I, the Lord, God says? For there is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me, God says. Let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God. There is no other. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word, God says in Isaiah 45. When God spoke these words, he was speaking through Isaiah to a hard-hearted people who had wandered in and out of relationship with God for centuries. The words come as a reminder that true salvation can only come from God. There are no alternatives, no shortcuts, no cheap, easy ways to salvation. God alone offers it, and we have found it in Jesus, God's own Son, the Savior about which God has spoken. Just as the disciples of Jesus have always had, we will have God's help, and people will be having new experiences with the holy. We get to help them remember and realize that these experiences come from and through God and God's Son, Jesus Christ. New experiences of God will continue, and we will have the privilege of pointing people toward the cross. We will witness miracles alongside people who will witness miracles and wonder where they've come from. We get to point them toward Jesus. We will witness people doing acts of kindness, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, doing the things we are called to do, and they'll say, I wonder what makes people do these nice things, and we'll get to point them toward Jesus. Before Jesus ascended to God at the end of his earthly ministry, he spoke these words to his disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The authority given Jesus and extended to the disciples has in turn been extended to us. This authority comes from God alone, with or without a cataclysmic electromagnetic event. It is ours. In my observation, one of the biggest problems facing the church is that those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus have chosen to relinquish this authority to someone else. That must be someone else's job, we have said. Well, I don't know enough about that. I don't have the authority to say that. I can't speak into this. Folks, the authority is given you by virtue of your relationship with Jesus Christ. We have either regarded the pursuit of the spiritual so to be so personal that we would not presume to impose our thoughts on others, or we are so intimidated by the mystery of it all that we are not confident to tell our own stories, and we're failing the people of God. I may have lost some of the more pragmatic of you in this make-believe world that we're building around here. If you can't imagine a world where Jesus isn't remembered through the imagination of a cataclysmic event, just look at the real world around us. The truth is, we are gradually approaching a world where there are more and more people who know of Jesus than there are people who really know Jesus. Sociologists use a term called post-Christian to describe cultures that were once dominated by Christian thought and now are not so much. There is, of course, residual effect, but Christians actually have less immediate impact in such a world than we once did. We are living in a world where terms like post-Christian Europe and post-Christian America are in the media on a regular basis. It should terrify us. It should motivate us. If you are having trouble imagining such a world through this film, if you need something more concrete to give you pause to consider the kind of world we are describing, ground these challenges in our current reality, folks. This notion of a world that has forgotten who Jesus is closer than we might think. Therefore, we are embarking on a kind of spiritual reset. A world that does not remember Jesus offers more questions than answers, for sure. Our objective today is not to answer all the questions, but to free us from all the many answers offered by others, to give ourselves permission to think about how we would tell God's story through our experience with Jesus Christ. The questions that come up for us may actually give us some insight into the most important parts of our own stories. But what about this? May reveal the places where mystery compels us to give the only answer that makes sense for us. For I am God and there is no other. My parents used to say, because I said so, when they didn't want to answer a question. And it's not as if God doesn't want to answer our questions, but sometimes God is the only answer to our questions. Our Lenten discipline this year is perhaps an exercise in being a little bit undisciplined, unbound to all the history and all the theology and the discipline itself. We're going to unbind ourselves from those things so that we can tell our own stories. Learn to tell them again. The challenge placed before us is one of freedom to explore our own questions without the limits of the answers of others. In the coming week, ask yourself what elements of your story, your experience with Jesus, are most important to you. How does 2,000 years of science affect the ways we approach mystery and the unknowable in God's story? What is the most important thing about Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to me, and how do I know? How will I explain my own unique relationship with Jesus when I know the person to whom I will explain it has nothing with which to compare it? Mystery. Unanswered questions. Unknowable answers. Except by faith. What do they look like for you? And how will you tell your story? In a moment, just a moment, we are going to celebrate Holy Communion. In fact, I'm going to invite Pastor Janet to come now and celebrate Holy Communion. But as we celebrate Holy Communion and we explore this mystery of our faith that we call it, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. How much more important is doing this thing in remembrance if people have really forgotten? How does partaking in Holy Communion serve to remind us who Jesus is? How Jesus lived? The lengths to which Jesus was willing to go for us. What are we remembering? Why is this so important? And does the Holy Spirit really do what the Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit does in Holy Communion? What if? What if? Our